Baseball season is underway, and you know we love talking all sports here on the Jason Big Joe Show, and we're excited about our next guest. Hojo, Howard Johnson, of course, a longtime Met, played with the Tigers, won a couple of World Series, Rockies, Cubs as well. Howard, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. I you know, before we get into your career and everything, as a guy that spent his whole life in baseball as a player and a coach, what's your opinion of the recent rule changes that we've seen over the last few years to speed up the game, the pitch clock, all those things that baseball has done to try and speed it up and make it a little more exciting?
Well, there's definitely some rules that I don't mind. I think the pitch clock it has its purpose, and it seems like, you know, it's achieving that goal. I mean, the fans seem to like it. I'm okay with that. That when I was coaching the minor leagues, is up to 2019 was my last year coaching there. We had the pitch clock already in place. They had been doing it for about 7 or 8 years already. So there was already that kind of built into the minor league system, and I thought it went good. I thought it kept the games moving. So a lot of the stuff that MLB is doing now was already kind of in place, and they were experimenting with it, and I think the results were positive. So I'm good with that one. I don't mind the pitch clock one. The other one I do like a lot, and I'll kind of explain it. You guys might have a different opinion, but I do like the fact that you can't shift the players the way they did before. I think that the way they were doing it up until this last year, I think that they really were taken away from the spirit of the game as far as, you know, how hard it is to actually get a hit. I mean, it was already tough when guys were standing where they're supposed to be standing roughly. I mean, of course, you're going to move around some, but when guys are standing like normal, like the way they had it for, you know, 100 years or whatever, you know, to hit 300, that's 3 out of 10. You're basically almost a Hall of Fame hitter. So now you're going to put everybody on one side of the field or the other. Kind of takes away from the spirit of the game, the way the game is supposed to be played. And I know, and I've heard all the rebuttals to that. Well, just hit the ball over the other way, you know. Not that easy, first of all, and pitchers just aren't going to give you pitches to do that with. Drop a bunt down, do this. Well, you could drop a bunt down, you do it one time, then they put the third baseman right there. Now you've got a little hole to shoot through at shortstop, and it's just kind of the thing that fans don't understand about that is, I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but the thing that fans don't understand about the whole shift thing is that when you ask a guy such as, I say, Big Poppy or, you know, Trout or those kind of guys to do something that takes away from what they're really good, their strengths are. Like, for example, I use Big Poppy because it's an easy illustration. He likes to pull the ball. He's not fast. If he gets on first base, you know, he's clogging the bases. So if you're forcing him to just try to get a base hit and get on, that's kind of a win for the defense. And that's what fans will really understand, that just him getting on base isn't necessarily a win for the Red Sox. It was a win for the defense. And so you're forcing players to do something that takes away from their biggest strengths. And I think that kind of interrupted the way the game's supposed to be played, where you have, you know, pitchers challenging hitters and, you know, let the best man win, that sort of speak, as opposed to forcing a guy to do something he's not good at.
We're talking to two-time World Series champion Howard Johnson on the Chasing Big Joe Show. And, Howard, thank you for doing this today. Although you're not coaching in the minor leagues, you're still coaching because we talked about a dear friend of mine. You coach his son in the travel league team. Talk about now coaching the youth and how much fun you're having doing this.
Well, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I like what we're doing with our players, our kids. You know, in Nashville there, we have a good program, the Hojo Baseball program, and we've got, I think, 15 or 16 teams. I coached the 17 U's. We started last fall, and we continue this summer. And I like what we're doing. I mean, I try to teach the game. I tell them right up front, you know, these older guys, I try to tell them that I'm going to coach you guys like you're professionals. I'm going to treat you that way. And so we're going to practice and we're going to play, you know, that style of baseball. So I want to introduce them to what that's like. And, you know, and what I enjoy about coaching is I can give them as much information as they can handle, because I've seen it all at every level. So I kind of understand like where guys are now and then where you like to see them, let's say in a couple of years, the kind of level of play that they need to be at. So I think having that perspective, the players like it. The parents certainly like it. We practice a lot more than we play. And that's a big hit because nowadays most travel programs spend more time playing than they do practicing. And these guys need reps. They need to work on their game. They need to understand how to play the game of baseball. And not just up there playing and trying to be a showcase player. That's not what it's about.
I was telling a few people that you were coming on today, and immediately it goes back to the 86 Mets. You're a part of that team. Why is that team still so revered, Howard, 38 years later?
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's I think because there's so much surrounding the way we won, actually, is a big part of it. Everybody remembers the ball going through Buckner's legs. And even young players today, they've heard of it. They've seen stuff on television about it. Fans just remember it. It was such a great World Series. But the whole postseason leading up to how we beat Houston, how Boston even got to the World Series beating Anaheim, and then, of course, our World Series matchup was so good. Each game was just kind of, you know, a lot of drama. But the players that were on the Mets at that time, many of those guys went on to have great careers elsewhere as well as with the team. So you had a good core group of guys that really kind of captured baseball, and they kind of held it for a while. You know, and this year, you know, Doc and Straw are getting their numbers retired by the Mets. So it just keeps, you know, the whole legend about the team just keeps on going. I think it was at that time in baseball where it was still personal, like players, you know, fans really fell in love with the players and the teams. And you didn't have all the distractions that you have now, where you've got, you know, so much ESPN, so much MLB Network, so much of, you know, social media, that it kind of takes away from the personal connection with the players that we used to have.
We're talking to Howard Johnson, Hojo, here with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. I'm curious, you know, fans all have their teams and, you know, the rivalries and things. What was a team that you just, every time you played them, you couldn't stand them or you hated playing there, but it was also like in a way that it got you more fired up when you were going to go play that team. Is there one that stands out?
Yeah, that's an easy one. It was always St. Louis. St. Louis was the biggest rivalry we had. The other teams in our division were good. You know, each had their time. So in the beginning, when I got there, was St. Louis. They were the team that was winning the East. I hated playing those guys because just the way they played, the arrogance that they carried was just, it kind of rubbed us wrong. But they were in the way of what we wanted. You know, they won the World Series in '82. You know, they were kind of like the team that everybody wanted to beat in the division. And so, you know, playing those guys, it became very personal. The fans, you know, didn't like the Cardinals. Cardinals didn't like us. The only thing I did enjoy playing there, I loved playing in Busch Stadium. I love the atmosphere that our games created when we played them. The fans were always coming out. It was loud. It was always good baseball, and it kind of brought out the best in both of our teams. And two different style of play. Those guys were very speed oriented. You know, of course they had Jack Clark, but mostly speed and kind of scored runs differently. We both were built around our pitching staff and our bullpen, but we were a little more power driven. We had our speed, but they were over the top with what they were able to do, you know, with their legs. And that was a challenge for us, but we found a way to get past it. It took a little bit, but we did take them finally in 86. And I still remember those games, and they remember those games. Believe me, if you called up one of their guys, if you called up Ozzie right now, he'd probably say the same thing. Oh, we hated them, you know. So it was St. Louis was that team. But later on, you know, Pittsburgh became that team that we had big rivalry with, and the games we played with them were extremely intense.
So you were lucky enough to win two World Series. What was a crazier post-game celebration right after the game, 84 with the Tigers or 86 with the Mets?
There's no doubt 86 with the Mets, because the way we won in 84 was kind of a fait accompli. We were gonna win. We had the best team all year in the American League, and we felt like we were going to, you know, win the playoffs, and we beat Kansas City three straight, and then went into the World Series and took care of San Diego in five games. So that was kind of a no-brainer. That was easy. We expected to win. The celebration was great, don't get me wrong. Team hadn't won in Detroit since 68. And so, 84 came along, and it was special. But the 86 Mets, the last time the team had won was 69, and it had been a while. And the team just kind of, as if it was the right team at the right time for New York, where it used to be a Yankee town, and it became really a Met town for a little while. And there was just a lot of hype with the players, the young players that had come up through the system, and the trades that we had made. It was just a very complete team. And I think fans just fell in love with the style of play that we had. So when it was over after game seven of 86, you know, after the Buckner game in game six, that was amazing. And the celebration was we had climbed a huge hill, and where our teams maybe they expected us to win, we still had to climb a big mountain to get over it. And we did. We were able to do that in a crazy way. So fans just fell in love with that whole story.
It's great. We're talking to Howard Johnson. My phone is – I'm getting all these text messages from questions from friends, but I got to ask you the most obvious one, Howard, is where were you when the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs?
I was on deck.
Ooh.
So I was getting ready to hit. I was kind of like waiting to get my turn. I'd faced Stanley before, so I was kind of watching, you know, I knew what he had, and just watching the at bat with Mookie, just getting ready to hit. So when the ball went by him, by Buckner, you know, I had a good view of that, obviously. And of course, you know, when Ray came in to score, I was the first guy there to meet him. So it was kind of crazy on the field that night, but I was right there in the middle of it, so I was thankful for that.
That's just, I mean, iconic moment we all remember. I mean, hell, that's Goodwill Hunting is probably based off the Buckner thing. One more question from a friend of mine. Dave wants to know, Oral Hershiser in 88 was so dominant. Have you ever seen a pitcher that dominant before, after, that you faced ever? Because for fans who don't realize, in 88, Oral Hershiser, what, he weighed 130 pounds? Nobody could hit him. How great was facing him, Howard?
Yeah, he was very difficult to face. I mean, I knew Oral from previous years. We played winter ball together in the Dominican, and I liked Oral. He was a good guy, Christian guy, very, very big-time competitor. But he was on a streak. I think that year in 88, he set the record for scoreless innings that was held for a long time, I think by Drysdale.
Yeah.
It was like crazy amount of innings, 50-something innings without giving up a run. And he broke that record. So he went into the postseason on a major, high as far as like where he was pitching, the quality of his starts. So he did what a lot of teams do now. I mean, they'll use starters in the bullpen in a close game in a series. It happens a lot now. But Hershiser was one of the guys that started that. And, he came in the game in relief and beat us. And he started games and beat us. And it wasn't like anything was crazy, off the charts. Like his fastball wasn't like unhittable. His curveball wasn't unhittable. But he was able to, pitch, and he hit his spots, and he just had uncanny location. Rarely made a mistake. Wow. And I think between him and Tommy Lasorda, just getting that team ready to play, because we that year we played them. We beat them 11 out of 12.
Oh,
it was,
man,
on the year we beat them 11 out of 12. So they really had something to prove. It just goes to show you it's hard to beat a team 12 out of 12 times, right?
It is.
They pretty much flipped the script on us, and guys hit home runs against our pitching staff that hadn't done that. Mike Socha, T-Bone Shelby, these guys had certain at bats that didn't happen before and never happened afterwards. It just kind of happened that series. So it was just unbelievable.
Well, Hojo, this has been a lot of fun. I got to say this. I know your son is the head coach at Franklin Road Academy. I'm a
yes.
proud graduate of the Panthers, so go Panthers, and glad he's over there.
Yeah, Glenn, I was just talking to Glenn before I was talking to you guys. They won a good game last night. He's got a very young team. He's recruited well. He's got some good young players. I think the best for this year is still ahead of them. They're starting to put it together. But when these young guys, he's got sophomore, freshman guys, they're gonna dominate in a couple of years. So it's good to be an FRA Panther right now.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. Enjoyed the walk down memory lane. We'll definitely do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, fellas. Anytime.